Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Mark 2, and our focus this morning is going to be on Jesus' words in verse 22. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how blessed it is to gather together as your people, to hear the word that you have given us, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord God, to send your own Holy Spirit to work through this word, so that as he works through this word, our faith in Jesus is strong, and that our lives overflow in trust and in love for all people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is week two of this series called Breaking Boundaries. This is again about Jesus interacting with the Pharisees in the Gospel of Mark. And last week we heard about Jesus breaking the boundaries with the outcasts. This week it's about Jesus breaking the boundaries with the rule keepers. Now, I'll bet you anyone here could say yes to this, that at some point in your life, you heard these words. That's the rules, right? Probably heard it from your parents, probably heard it from a teacher, probably heard it from many people. And you know what? It fits because that's life, isn't it? Every day we wake up and we face a life filled with rules. Some of them are laws that our government lays down. Some of them are more cultural, social, you know, ways to act, things to say. Some of them are self-imposed. But if anyone breaks the rules, it irritates you to no end. For example, here's a personal example. Here in the LaGrange area, there are these octagonal things that are placed at intersections that are colored red, and they have the word stop written on them. And the rules are is that when you are driving a vehicle and you come up to one of these signs, you're actually supposed to stop the vehicle. And yet, I just have been amazed at how many people break that rule. It's almost like as long as a car is not within, 3 feet of them, they are free to just coast on through the intersection and just go on their merry way. And that's not exactly a good thing, because something could get hit. Someone could get hit. That's the rules. See, why do we have rules? Well, think about it. It's to keep people safe. Right? There's also predictability about rules. You know the boundaries, you know the contours of how things are supposed to go. But probably the number one reason we have rules in life is that there is some perceived benefit in keeping them. So if anyone breaks them, you get upset. Which brings us to our text. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" So they're talking about fasting here, and fasting back then was much different than fasting today. When we hear the word fast, we think about, you know, like protein shakes and workouts and probably more weight loss kind of thing. It's a purely physical thing when we hear about fasting. And if we're going to get spiritual about it, it happens during Lent. And it's usually you give up something good, chocolate, coffee, what have you. But back in Jesus' day, in fact, back in the entire history of Israel, fasting was definitely spiritual. There was only one commanded fast that God had put upon his people, and that was on the Day of Atonement. They were to fast in order to prepare themselves for cleansing on that day. But as their history went on, there were actually four additional fasts that were added to the people. And these were actually times of remembering certain events in Israel's history. It was a time to remember, time to repent. But by the time the Pharisees get on the scene, they take fasting to a whole new level. In Luke 18, when Jesus tells this parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector, he says that the Pharisee prays to God, "I fast twice a week." And that was actually on Mondays or Thursdays. And even though it was an optional practice, the really good ones, the really righteous ones, they would fast twice a week. And then there's Jesus talking about fasting in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 6. And he talks about when you fast, don't be like those that disfigure their faces. You know them, just, I'm hungry. It's like my son. I'm fasting, can you tell? You know, that's what they were doing. But see, it was more than just showing their pain. They were showing their piety. They were showing their devotion through fasting. So why did the Pharisees double down so much on fasting? Well, remember, they're all about keeping themselves pure. And if they kept these rules, kept the rules of fasting, you know, God would bless them. They would have God's favor, and they would not be kicked out of their nation, of their city, and sent into exile again. So it irritates them to no end that Jesus and his disciples do not fast. You have to remember right before this text here that Mark describes Jesus sitting in the house of Levi with his tax collector and sinner buddies, and what are they doing? They're having a party. Oh yeah, a lot of food, a lot of wine. They are feasting, not fasting. So the Pharisees are coming up to them and saying, why aren't you fasting? Why are you not keeping the rules? Why are you putting everything in jeopardy here, Jesus? You know how this works. We keep the rules and God blesses us. We break the rules and God will punish us. Now take a pause here. Be honest. How often do we live our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ like that? Trying to keep the rules and not break them. I mean, it makes sense, right? You know, rules are conditional. If you follow the rules, you'll be rewarded. If you break them, you'll be punished, right? There's so many examples of this in life. If you follow the rule of working hard, then you'll get that promotion, you know? You'll get into that school, you'll succeed. If you follow the rules of being a good spouse, being a good parent or grandparent, you know what? You'll have blessings flowing into your life. You'll have that love. You see what I mean? Rules, conditional. If you do this and don't do this. But now drag this into your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you keep the rules, he'll bless you. If you break them, he'll be angry. He'll withdraw, and your life will probably go to pieces. And so you and I try hard to keep the rules. And yes, we try to keep the rules from the Bible, right? You know, like the Ten Commandments. Yeah, Lord, we're going to try our best, to keep these. We're going to try our best to listen to your words, which you said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We're going to try that really hard. But then there's also more of the social rules that are pressed upon it. Again, those those actions that the people of God kind of just, you know, press upon the people, things to say, ways to behave. And if you keep them, you know, you'll be loved and accepted. And what we mean is by God. But then there's also the self-imposed rules upon yourself as a disciple of Jesus. You know, if I just read my Bible enough, if I just pray enough, if I just serve enough, if I just love enough, if I just give or do all of these things enough, I'll have God's favor. He'll bless me. Life will be great. But that's when you start to notice something. You start to notice that all of this rule-keeping is exhausting and joyless. Questions start popping up into your head. Just, well, how do I know if I've kept the rules enough? How do I know which rules to keep? And what happens when inevitably I break the rules? Well, maybe you stop focusing on yourself. You stop focusing on others. Like, oh, are they keeping the rules or are they not keeping them? You start to nitpick, start to shame, start to just say, hey, come on, let's do this. Because otherwise, God will get mad. If you would look at your face in the mirror, if I would look at my face in the mirror, our face is disfigured. Not only because of our efforts at trying to please the Lord through rule keeping, but also a face that is torn. All those times we break the rules. All those times we fail to progress in righteousness. I ran across a quote by a sermon by Pastor Edward Marquardt. He's a former pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Washington. And he wrote a sermon about this text. And I just want you to let this sink in. If your Christianity is a burden to you, if your Christian faith is, I can't do this and I can't do that, if your faith is a series of no-nos and a bunch of rules for you to now follow, you haven't tasted the new wine of Jesus. Christianity is not a series of new rules and regulations. Rather, Christianity is freedom. You know, that's what Jesus is trying to get across to the Pharisees when he actually responds to their question here. Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? Guys, the bridegroom's here. This is a wedding feast. This is not a time for, you know, disfigured faces and doom and gloom. This is a time for joy. You know, it's just like trying to sew a piece of new cloth on an old shirt or put new wine in these old wineskins. That doesn't fit. It's the most inappropriate action to take. Why would someone fast when the one they have been waiting for is here? In other words, something new is here. Something that the rule keepers are blind to, and yet something that can open their eyes. It's me, Jesus. It's my grace, it's my love, it's my mercy, my peace, my righteousness. It's my one-way love for all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you might be actually hearing this for the first time, really hearing this, or maybe for the millionth time you've heard this, I invite you to drink of this new wine that Jesus gives. I want you to drink of the fact of his work for you and me, where Jesus was the one that fasted. He gave up everything. He gave up heaven to come down here among us, taking on our flesh, and in that flesh, he gave up everything as well. He gave up comfort, he gave up status, he gave up reputation, and finally, he gave up his very life on the cross for you and for me the rule breakers. And then, glorious day, he rose again. And he gives us his righteousness, his love, his salvation. Drink this new wine. Drink this new wine of his presence, where he is with you in your baptism, where he is with you in his word, where he is with you in his supper, where he is with you inside of you, where he is with you in the world, where he is with you wherever you go, whatever happens, ups, downs, doesn't matter. He is the one coming to you. Drink this new wine, where there are no rules, no rules to keep, no rules to break in order to either earn or maintain his grace and favor. It is all a gift given to you. When you drink this new wine, there is freedom and there is joy. So what then do we do with these words of Jesus? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. What, is Jesus going back on his words here? Is he, conflicting here? What's going on here? Does that mean that we need to fast? Does that mean we still have rules to keep? Well, Jesus invites you to look at things in that new way. In her book, Ragged, author Gretchen Ronovick talks about a time she was having a real difficult time with one of her children. Just nothing was working. Rebellious, talking back, just bringing this cloud of dark cloud over their entire family, and discipline wasn't exactly working here. She tried praying and praying and praying and mining God's word for anything. Nothing seemed to work. So she had been reading up on it and finally decided, you know what, I'm going to fast. Maybe that'll help here. And so she did. She did an all-day fast. And it wasn't like she felt she was some, superhero Christian for completing a fast. No, actually, she said, it was where I felt very weak, very helpless, very much in need. I won't tell you how it turned out. Instead, I will tell you what her conclusions were. That fast was not a work I completed to God. It was actually a rest God gave me. A rest of trying to be the perfect mom, of trying to say the right thing, from trying to address every issue in the best way. It was a day of me saying, God, when I am weak, you are strong. Help me. Fasting isn't something we have to do for God. It's a gift God has given us. When we need to understand that our weakness isn't something we need to fear because of his strength on the cross. Every day, we wake up to rules. Some we keep, we feel we should be rewarded. Some we break, and we feel weak and helpless. But to the rule keepers, Jesus breaks the boundaries by putting this cup of new wine up to our lips and inviting us to drink, where there are no rules, just rest. There's no fear over losing his favor, just faith and forgiveness. There's no guidance on how to keep the rules better, just grace. It's Jesus saying to you and to me, this is a wedding feast. The bridegroom is here. Rejoice in your freedom. That's the rules. Amen.